Welcome to Embracing the Muse. I'm your host, Sally Jean Fox, the author of Meeting the Muse After Midlife. And I'm on a quest to discover and understand how we can live our richest, most meaningful, and creative lives at any age, and especially as we age. And I'll be interviewing island creatives to discover what they can share with us about the highs and lows, ups and downs, and possibilities of living and sustaining a creative life. I am totally delighted today to bring you Elaine Summers for Embracing the Muse. A lot of you will know Elaine Summers, but you might know her from different walks of life. For example, if you're a musician or you're interested and you love local music and singer-songwriter material, you might know her through her collaboration with her husband, musician Pete Droege. And if you're really lucky, you might even have a ticket for their performance at the end of March at the Vashon Center for the Arts. However, you might also know her as an artist. So if you follow the art scene, you will probably have seen these gorgeous mosaics of animals. And I'll ask you later, Elaine, what else you do, because I know you from the big animals that you've done. But she is a mosaic artist and does beautiful work. And then if you're into animals and you really care about animal welfare, you will have known another Elaine, who is a passionate advocate for animals and has given so much time and leadership to Vashon Island Pet Protectors. So it's all like we're talking three Elaines here, and they're all fabulous. So thank you so much for making time for me today. And which Elaine has been taking up most of your time these days?
Well, also, I want to point out that there's a lot of people on Vashon that do multiple things, which always have impressed me about this place, and including you with all your endeavors that you've recently gone into. So yeah. I feel like I'm in good company here.
Which is right why you now, can never make an assumption that you know who somebody is on Vashon, because almost always they've got this interesting side gig or backstory.
Absolutely.
It'll blow you away. So
totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's funny. Right now I'm actually doing all three things.
Okay.
I'm working on a mosaic commission. I'm planning the VIP furball auction. And I'm working with Pete. He's getting ready to release a new record. And so we're doing a lot of the wind up to getting that to happen. So
Oh my goodness.
It's kind of a little crazy for me right now, but it's always good crazy.
Good crazy. Good crazy. And then you do have this performance coming up at the end of March, right? Here on
we
the
do.
Island.
Yep. So we're rehearsing for that.
You said tour. So is that the beginning of a tour that you both will be going on, or how does that work?
What we're going to do is in June, we're going to do a little tour down the West Coast, playing Portland, San Francisco, Los Angeles, and a few other places in between. And we haven't done anything like that for years and years and years. We used to tour a lot. When I first started working with Pete, he had a major label record deal, and they put us on the road for a long time, and we had a great time doing it. But we were first in a van and then moved into a bus. And when, you know, bus tours are pretty darn fun. Now we're on our own, and it'll be, you know, we'll be roughing it a little bit, but we also look at it as a great adventure.
Well, I'm glad you can do that, because it's been a while since you could go out. And just as a side note, is it going to be the big bus or is it going to be the minivan?
Oh, you know? No, it's going to be the minivan. Yeah, it's going to be the minivan. And just Pete and I, we hope to build up to a place where we can take a couple of people with us, a sound man and a guitar tech or something. But for right now, we're going to just try it with the two of us and and see how we do.
Yeah, great. Well, I'm sure I know everybody on the island gets all, not everybody, but a lot of the island gets super excited when you announce a concert. In fact, you know, VCA kind of uses that in a certain way of saying, you know, they're coming. This is going to be the date. This is when you have to buy your ticket, because I know the two previous shows you've done over the years have sold out, so, and sold out quickly. But really big deal for going back on the road after all this time. Pete has been he's been open about chronic fatigue syndrome and part of what he's gone through. What's that been like for you to have a partner with chronic fatigue and also have to make the maybe the life changes that come with realizing that you aren't who you thought you were?
Yeah, so what it did is it kind of forced me. That's where my mosaic creativity came from. Was it was like all of a sudden Pete wasn't in a position to be working in our studio, which we have a recording studio in our house. So once that happened, I was like, I need to do something. So I didn't want to go recording someplace else, or, you know, we just wrote songs together because that was something we could actually sit in bed and do. And it was pretty fun. And we got a lot of songs during that. We wrote a lot of songs during those years. It's always hard when you have a partner who's sick. It's hard to go out without them. It's hard to, you know, just that's the biggest thing is like your life continues. Theirs is kind of on hold. And that's hard to watch, but the great thing about Pete and how he handled it was he just got into meditation and just really tried to use that time to just go introspective. And so it was like it was pleasant because it wasn't he wasn't depressed sitting there in depression over it, which a lot of people, I don't blame him, that happens. So lots of doctors trying to, you know, help him get to the finish line. And in the last year, he started coming out of it enough to be able to record. And we actually partnered with a guy in Los Angeles. So he would start the recordings here. And we would do our vocals and our main guitar here and then send it down to LA and they put drums and bass and other instruments on. And it was just a great, it just worked out well. So he wasn't constantly doing long days. Because when you're in the studio making records, it's like it's long days. You can't do it in small bite size pieces.
Interesting. Even when you have your studio at home, is that true? Yeah.
Things just take time. And so we just so that was great. We got to choose the best songs that we had that we had written that kind of went together on for this record. And so yeah, that's going to come out later in the year. But this first kickoff tour is just a, for, some singles are going to come out beforehand. So that's what we're going to start. And what we're doing is just trying to reintroduce people to Pete and, you know, remind people of that he's been here all along. And we have made a lot of records. We just did them on our own. So they didn't have as big of reach. So that's what we're going to do. We're just trying to get back out there and, get a situation where we can go multiple places and play to a few hundred people, pack rooms and a few other places. So, yeah, keep sharing the music. When
Fabulous. Yeah.
we sing together in our living room, we just go, gosh, I want to do this for people. Like it just feels so good. And you can do it on the island as long as possible, but you got to go someplace else, you know?
Yeah.
So,
But it sounds like the
yeah.
kind of venue that we have on the island with the Vashon Center for the Arts is about the right scale, that you can have that sense of audience and really being with an audience as opposed to being with a mega field of people, but
Right.
still have enough people that it makes it worthwhile.
Oh, totally. And yeah, that's a great size for us. I hope that we can play to that many people in most of the places we go, but we'll probably have to start, you know, we'll see how it goes. It's been a long time.
So tell me about that, because I'm so interested in the creative life. And the creative life, when you go backstage, seems to come with its ups and downs, its bumps, its expectations, its disappointments, its great successes. You know, it's life, it's the whole of it. And you guys are so talented. And I know from the people who come to your concerts from off island, which is a big deal, that you have quite a following. But here, because of the hiatus with the chronic fatigue and all, you've had to take a little back step in terms of getting the Pete Drogue name out into the world. What's that like? You know, how do you balance your sense of would have, could have, should have, I wish, with being able to be grounded in reality and what's possible right now?
Well, I tell you, we feel really lucky because, Pete didn't have huge success when he first came out in 1994, but he had a pretty good amount of success. He was in a lot of magazines and I got a lot of press. We were on David Letterman, and we did all these really high profile things that, and he has the kind of name that once you've heard it, it's like you remember it because it's kind of a weird name.
Yeah, kind of weird. I
And
still
so,
struggle with pronouncing it. It's
I
Droege,
know,
right?
Droege, yeah. And so it was so you can when you go away for a while or people don't see you for a while and you come back, it's like you're where you come back to, at least it's somewhere. It's like we started at a place where Pete can actually still call people and get them on the phone. They know who he is. So that's a huge advantage to someone who's just starting from the very beginning. And the music business has always been really, really, really hard, but it's crazy now. And it's crazy now because there's so much of it. People have so much access to so many artists that aren't signed. It's like such a different world. We're not signed either. So I mean, we're on our own label. So, but when you're starting from scratch and you have, and nobody knows who you are, oh my gosh,
Yeah, in this day and age, that would be quite a, I mean, the good news is that you can probably have access because you can get that little song into Spotify. The bad news is so can 2 million other people next
that's
month or
right.
whatever. So
Yeah.
actually getting seen or noticed or heard.
Yeah, Pete wasn't a big fan of social media. Like during the time he was ill, he was like, I don't really want to, what am I going to do on there? Of course, new t today when you're talking to somebody, they're like, let's see how popular you are. How many fans do you have? Who's following you on this and that and the other? And it's kind of maddening because it's like, really, is that the value? Can't you just listen to the music that we've created and go, oh, this should be heard, or
Yes.
this is so. But that's how record companies don't really want to do the work anymore. They want you to do all the work. They want you to have a million followers, and then they sign you to a record deal. It's
Right,
like
right.
there's no development anymore with artists. So people are on their own out there, and some people are just doing a great job. They're on, every single social media platform and making little videos and doing their best to get seen. But it's when you're older, it's not so fun. It's like, eh, how many, you're just trying to be creative in a way that has integrity, that fits your personality. You're not going
Yeah.
to go do stupid stuff that doesn't fit
Yeah, and just to have that sort of exterior facade that gets people kind of interested but doesn't really do anything for your music or your soul. It doesn't really say who you are. And I'm interested because as an independent author, it's a similar story in a different way. But when they started, used to be 5,000, then 20,000, then 100,000 followers. Before you could, anyone would think of publishing you. And then everybody wants to go with the heavy hitters because it's the million sellers who are going to really make money for the industry. And that's a challenge because it forces creatives into this place of, do I care enough to put it out myself?
That's right.
And do I care enough to put it out myself? And can I find an internal monitor of success that is strong enough that I can, let some of the hype and the followers and the clicks and the how many's float away, because ultimately they don't matter, except that's a world we're orbiting in,
I know it is the world. And I think, I've always, since I was 20 years old, I was in my first band and had to self-promote myself. And I got really tired of that after a while. And it was just like, look, I'm just going to do stuff. I'm just going to make things. And I am not trying to get, with Mosaics, I'm not trying to get in gallery shows. I'm not even trying to be known for for doing that. I just want to do it. I'm going to do it. And when I feel like when you just do the work, It finds a way. Now, some people want that way to be bigger. I don't have any expectations. And I think Pete and I both on this next journey with this next record, we're actually hiring a bunch of components to help us promote this record. This is something we haven't done before. It's basically like putting together a full record company with promotion and marketing, a person who gets you know, works to you to radio, booking agents, and a publish a person to publish our music so that we can try to get more licenses. And it's like working with that team, and we still don't have any expectations. It's like, yeah, you don't know what's going to happen. It's like you just don't know if you're going to get out there and nobody remembers you and not going to sell a lot of tickets to your shows, or if you're going to get out there and it's going to be like, hey, pretty good. Like three quarters of the room is full everywhere we go. And we can start to build on this, you know? And but the bottom line I always found within myself is just like, if I'm enjoying doing it, then it's worth doing.
Sweet.
And you know, as long as you can afford to do the things you want to do, and I've always tried to find a way, even if I couldn't afford it, to do it in the cheapest way I could do it, just so I could still do
So that's true of
it.
your music as well as your art. Just
Yeah, I think yeah, I mean, it's like I feel funny promoting myself. I'm just like I
yeah.
just don't enjoy that version.
Well, let me ask you about that because you were an out there singer in your early 20s. I love the pictures of you and Pete that you sometimes post on Facebook that take me back to a time I didn't know, but so
Right.
you were a part of a whole scene and you have a beautiful voice. So when the two
Thank
of
you.
you sing in public, I have to tell you, I'm like, can I hear Elaine a little more? Because I really love hearing you sing. And at the same time, I've noticed that you are an ardent supporter of your husband. You are a full-on collaborator, and you don't seem to have to push to the center of the stage to have glory for you. Is that your personality, or is that like a deliberate choice that you've just preferred to be featuring Elaine Summers rather than, fronting Elaine Summers?
It is a deliberate choice. So I had my own bands from 20 years old to 33, and that's when I met Pete. And basically he was writing songs for his first record in my apartment, and I just started singing along background vocals. And then he got a record deal really quickly, and we went down to South by Southwest, played a gig. He got a record deal, which I just couldn't believe because I'd been trying to do that for about 10 years in Los Angeles. And I was like, and then we play one gig and you get a record deal. But what I really enjoyed about being a background singer was I got to do all the things I wanted to do, and I didn't have hardly any of the pressure
Oh,
on
okay.
me, you know? And so I was like, oh my God, I don't have to keep this. You know, I don't have to be talking to the audience in between songs, and I don't have to go do the interviews, and I don't have to, you know, I was like, while we were on tour, I'd be thrift store shopping during the day in every city across America, and he would be, you know, in some radio station talking, and I was like, you know, this is pretty good.
Okay.
But it developed even further than that over time because I started to take the job of background singer, and also I became his co-producer, his co-writer, and we just really grew a lot. And as we sang together and recorded together over and over and over, our voices blending together was just so special to me that I just kind of didn't want that to stop. And I don't, yeah, I just being the lead singer, don't care anymore. Yeah, it's interesting. I will do some singles here and there. I will do stuff like that. now that he's back and being able to record, we can do some things. There's certain songs we've written that Maybe I'd be better at singing them than he would. You know, they're more my style. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, I think it's part of the story of the, Elaine P. collaboration that's so interesting because from both of you, I just hear the sense of love and support for your creative work. And that's not always the case, and I think sometimes you see in the music world or really art world, you have colliding egos who, they love and love each other and respect each other, but then bang, competition, jealousy, all these other things can flare up. And it's pretty amazing that you've avoided that and have
Yeah.
stayed such partners in life and in music,
Yeah, I think what happens is with when your partner's in music and you're out there, I think it either really, really works or it doesn't. And we're just one of the lucky ones that it really works. We have really good communication skills with each other, and we listen to each other, and I think we both, this is interesting too, we both come from parents who stayed together their whole lives, who really respected each other, who never talked down to each other or yelled at each other. And we both have that. It's like when I met Pete, I was so shocked that like he also had parents like mine. And I think we were shown a way to be in a relationship that has really worked with us, you know, has really carried us. And so I'm really thankful for that because it's really fun to have a partner in creative work. And it's fun to do things on your own too, but it's really fun to have a partner. It just makes things, you know, it's just to be able to bounce things off of somebody else. You think you know what you want. What do you think of this? Yeah, to be able to really and to push back, you know, be able to push back on each other. No, I don't think that's a good idea. Why, you know? So
What do you think the most important part of your addition to the mix? And I ask you, having listened to a Voice of Vashon interview Jeff Hoyt did last year with Pete and
okay,
all,
yeah.
and he was definitely appreciating your contribution. Well, how in your own voice do you feel like you add value when you're songwriting together?
Pete is usually the person who starts a lot of the songs. He'll just be sitting there, you know, jamming on his guitar, and he'll start to mumble some words, and I recognize pretty quickly when I hear something that's kind of extra special, and I always go record that, and then so he puts it down, and then I'll tell him, you know, a lot of times he'll try and write the song himself first. And then he'll maybe get the first verse and something, and then he'll go, I need you to come in on this one. I don't know where it needs to go. And so we're really good at conceptualizing the song, and just we're also one of the things that we've done a lot is we've gotten a lot of songs and movies and TV shows, and I think we're good at like watching picture and putting a song in the picture and looking at it and going, this really works. It works for the scene, things like that. And so there's just so many areas that we have in common. And so we just reinforce each other.
That's great. Do you have to watch the picture and think about how your song goes in, or do they come to you and they say, "I want this song. We have a scene. We think it'll work great." How which comes first? How does that work?
It usually is they just call you and they say, we want to use your song in our movie. This is the scene. But every once in a while, we'll be scoring a film
Oh.
where we're putting music in, and we can, and then it's our job to put in something that's going to support the emotion of the scene. So it's really fun because we've gotten to do it so many ways. We've also written songs specifically for movies. And it didn't make it in the movie, but then that song got licensed multiple times to other TV shows. And I think it's because it's written for picture and you're writing it for a scene. And so those kinds of things are just common in a lot of movies, you know, those
Interesting.
emotional moments. So yeah, it's
How did
that's
you get involved? I didn't get to see the movie. I didn't really know about it too much at the time, but the one that you made with Ellie Camacci is who, though. How were you in, to remind me the name of that film and how did you get involved in that?
So that movie film is called a documentary is called A Lot Like You, and it's Ellie Camaro. I
Tomorrow.
all of a sudden, yes.
Yeah. Okay,
And
good. Thank you.
Eliachi is her first name, so but we call her Ellie. And she was working on a documentary with and it was being edited by Eric Frith on the island. He's a great editor. And so Eric, I think, just reached out to us first and said, "Do you have any music that we can put behind this film, while I'm working on it and cutting it?" And I think it started that way, where we just delivered some pieces of music, and this wasn't, they weren't songs, they were just instrumental pieces of score. And then Ellie just really loved it, and Eric loved it, and then they got together with Pete and made a deal to for him to do the movie. The movie originally was called Worlds Apart. So as the movie went on, one day they sent us a cut, and the credits come up on the front, and it says A Lot Like You. And Pete had a song in the movie that's called A Lot Like You, so they ended up naming the movie after the song. And it was a great title, because Ellie goes back to she goes to Tanzania, where her father grew up, and meets her aunts and all of these people, and she interviews them for the movie, and it shows that connection between her and her aunts. And it was just, she was very brave. She really, laid it all out there, and we were so impressed by how amazing when people can just tell their truth to the world. And
Must
so
have been
she
an
was
amazing
inspiring.
collaboration because having the two of you collaborating with her was probably super reinforcing for her. And you had a film of merit with a lot of soul in it. And you got to be a part of that and probably influence the movie as well. Obviously you did because the title was picked up. So that sounds like one of those, whether or not you made Hollywood style money off of it, you, in terms of soul satisfaction, it must have been really nice.
Oh, it's fantastic. And she's just a great friend, and she is a very creative person as well. She's just taken off in abstract painting,
Yeah,
and
she was at Vashon Center for the Arts, I think it was last year. And I
that's
think
right.
Pete, I saw Pete there. I don't know if you were there,
Yeah.
but yeah, she blew me away. Beautiful
Yeah,
art
she's
and a great collab, great story,
yeah.
how her art keeps developing. And then I looked at all she's done, I go, God, she's like you. She's got, multiple things going on. And how does she have one body doing all of this,
Well, she'd be great to have on your show.
I tried, interestingly, she said she didn't like podcasts, but I'll try again. I will
Oh.
remind her of this after this interview and all. So what about, here's something I'm curious about. You've met my husband, Steve,
Yeah.
and he's gone through some health issues. And sometimes I've been so happy to have a studio I can go to that can just be my happy place to get away. Not get away from him, but just find my anchor. I was wondering if your mosaics are at all like that for you. Just, kind of a happy place where you can change the scene and go off into another part of you and explore that way.
Yeah, I think getting away from a computer screen and going into the studio and making something with my hands is really calming and refreshing. And it's really nice to have these multiple things that I can bounce around to, because I can, if I get tired of one thing, I just go do something else, and then when I come back, it's all fresh again. And so it's really, it's just, yeah, I think it's really lovely to be able to go out to my little messy shop and
A
nip tiles.
little messy shop. You do big projects. I would think you would have to have a big messy shop.
No, it's pretty small,
Oh
pretty small
wow.
space.
Wow. Yeah, I love your work, as you know.
Thank you.
How about the support for Vashon Island Pet Protectors? How does that fit into your mix?
Terry and Jeff Fletcher really were a huge part of me wanting to get involved with VIP. I met them when I adopted a couple of kittens from them when they first came to the island in 2002. And I just and Jeff was, and Terry both were working with VIP at that time. They had just moved here also. And I had a lot of ideas for VIP because at that time, we had a really antiquated website and we couldn't take donations on the website. And there were just a lot of graphic things that I was just like, oh, I can totally help with these kinds of things, to spruce things up and bring us into the 21st century and all this stuff. And Jeff and Terry were just so supportive of my ideas. They even helped pay for a new website that I helped shepherd in because I was just like, it's really important that, when people come to the site, it looks, current and all this stuff. So I kind of came in from that side, and always being an animal fan my whole life. I had horses when I was young. I had dogs and cats, and so just being, just loving animals so much, and over children, which I didn't have, and I love that that I could come in with my ideas, and people would listen to them. And I was allowed to do them. It's like, yeah, sure, give it a go. And I think that whenever I have the open field to do something and people let me do that, I just have so much fun. And I will work so hard because I just am happy to do it and I love working and I love making a difference. And it's crazy that it's been all this time now, and I'm still going, and I'm really excited about VIP because we have new people coming in all the time that are actually in their 30s and 40s, and I'm like, this is really
Well, it sounds, Elaine, I think I read this somewhere in your writings that you don't wait around to, go to school to figure out what you're doing, to take a first steps. You just see something you want to do and you teach yourself. You jump in. Is that right?
It is. It's kind of the way I learn. I realized when I was in school, I was like, gosh, I do terrible on tests. I it's it you know my The only classes I ever got A's in were art and gym. And I was like, things that I could do physically, and once I got out of school and I started managing my first band at 20 years old, and my brother was in the band. He was 10 years older than me. And I was booking it, and I was hiring, all the sound guys, the light guys, paying all the musicians, just doing all the advertising, just all this stuff. And I just immediately started doing it. And my brother even says to me to this day, I don't know how you learned how to do any of that stuff, but it had to be done. And I guess my mind is the kind of mind that could figure out how to do it. And
Wow.
so, yeah, I try to read like directions on things sometimes, and I spin around, and it's like, okay, just can I just somebody just tell me and I can get, I can figure it out. So,
Yeah, but it sounds like you had a lot of energy and still do have a lot of energy for learning. Jump in, figure out as you go, swim because you've been thrown in the pond,
yeah, and and learning new software, we had to, we got new software with VIP, and I do their auction, coordinate their auction. There's a million tiny pieces to
Wow.
that have to make that work. And of course, I learned under working with a lot of different coordinators, but the last few that I worked with was Allison Reed and Tina Shattuck, and they both were just unbelievable organizers. And so I had great teachers. And
Fantastic.
and it's just, I don't know. It's a little bit that keeps me up a little bit at night because you always want, I don't want to forget anything. I want everything to go well. And, you're throwing a big party is what you're doing. But
Well, I love your energy, and I also noticed people won't see this because it's just audio, but you and I both sport some gray hair. So we're a little,
Yes.
we're a little older now. How does, what's your view on aging? Do you, as you look at the road ahead, I assume, are you 60 now or,
65.
65?
I'm
Yeah, you're in the
65. Yeah.
zone. And then I have
Yep.
to say, it could be the most creative time of your life. That's what I'm going for. But,
Yeah.
how do you see, in the next 20 years for you?
Well, I want to do, I want to work until I die. I definitely never thought of retiring ever. I love getting older because I feel like, I don't know, I feel like I finally am not so shy. I can talk to people. I used to be a lot more shy, and now I have confidence in the things that I know, so that's been great. I also, it's funny, I was a big fan of artists who turned their whole property into like an art garden. And so Pete at one point had gotten me a book for my birthday, and it was all these famous art gardens all over the world. And almost every single one, the person started doing it when they were 50. And these places were like complete, like a whole house outside, inside, completely covered in mosaic, just like things like that. And I'm thinking, don't let somebody tell you that you can't start something at any age. And I don't know, I feel good about it. And the hardest part is just like if you have to be visual with, social media and stuff, it's like you see yourself older now and you kind of go, too bad I wasn't doing this when I was, a lot younger as far as the way you look, but whatever,
But that's the trade-off
know.
because our jowls would have been a little different, fewer wrinkles, whatever, 30 years ago, but our wisdom was also different.
That's
And
right.
it would be nice to have the energy for me. That's part of the deal, is to have the energy that I had when I was 30, but I wouldn't go back because I feel actually I'm much wiser and more creative, more able to give it a different level now.
Absolutely.
And it's
Yeah,
super sweet.
agreed.
I want, I walk by your property. I want that. I want to see that art garden. You have the perfect property for it,
Yeah, I don't have that kind of. I mean, it's interesting because with mosaic, it's like I like to do what I do. I don't even like to do public art stuff because it's like that's too big and I got to go someplace else to do it. And I've got to, arrange for cranes and trucks. And I just don't want to do that. I like just being small and doing the stuff I want to do. One day I may stop doing that. I might just be like, okay, I'm done. That's it. Like I don't like the Forrest Gump thing. You just stop walking. But for now, it does something for. And then, I'm so grateful because my work sells, and I wouldn't be making so many pieces if it didn't. So, that's another thing that just feels great, and I feel very lucky. And yeah, so I don't think I'm going to turn my property into an art garden, but I do love and enjoy developing it. Is just as a beautiful place to be able to look out the window and see. And
And that counts for a lot because you have your wonderful song about being on an island. And sometimes I think in this world where there's so much craziness, the fact that we can look out and see green, it's, see the deer that's wandering down the road, see the animals scurrying around. It's not to be taken for granted. It's an
not at
amazingly
all.
healing
To have
kind of.
this, to, yeah, absolutely. To have the space around us too, to be able to think, when everything is just chaotic, and it's a real gift to be here. And I can see why all of a sudden during COVID, everyone came here. A lot of people came here.
A lot of people, and I think unfortunately we may be getting more from California, because
I
who
know.
wants to be in LA right now and all. Do you think it helped, last question, because I've, taken a good bit of your time, but you guys moved here in 95, is that right? Somewhere in there.
Yeah.
A lot of people gravitate to places like New York, LA to be in the vibe, the creative vibe and all, or even in an urban area and stuff. But do you think that being in a non-urban area has actually helped your music and helped your vibe or helped you become the creatives that you are today?
I think absolutely. Pete grew up on Bainbridge Island,
Yes.
and when we were moving, we met in Portland. We had both moved to Portland. I had moved there from Los Angeles. He had moved there from here, from Seattle, and we met there. And when we decided to move back up here, we were looking around and we wanted some land. There's a recording studio that we had recorded at that was on 10-acre piece of land in Woodinville, and there was a horse barn there, and the studio was in a barn. It was so cool. And we're like, we want that. We want to have that. And so someone told us, you got to go to Vashon. It's like Bainbridge was in the 70s. And so we came here and we rented a place at first because Pete was like, okay, you need to make sure you're comfortable here.
Smart.
And I immediately I loved it. I came to the West Coast from Virginia, so I had horses and loved the outdoors and that kind of lifestyle. So it kind of reminded me of Virginia a little bit. And so yeah, when we got this place, it was just like we were still traveling on touring a lot. But we wanted to live somewhere that when we came off tour, it was like being on vacation. And that's what Vashon felt like,
Oh,
And we didn't have high speed internet at the time. We didn't have cable. We didn't have
yeah.
a lot of things. And so it was a little bit tricky to do a lot of our work. But it didn't take long before we could, we had those things. Yeah, I think our music would not be the same if we weren't here. A lot of what we write is what we see around us. And so very influential.
Well, let's give a in wrapping up, let's give you a chance to plug anything you want, including your concert and the Furball, because you're putting heart and soul into that as well. So what are the dates? Is your concert sold out yet at VCA? I know it usually goes so
No,
fast.
it's not sold out yet. That's March 29th. And
But get your tickets soon because it will sell out.
yeah.
Yeah.
The good news about that place is there's not a bad seat in the house. So that's kind of
Yeah.
nice as far as that goes. But yeah, so we'll be playing some so Pete has so the first record I sang on with Pete, I'll just say really quickly, it was called Necktie Second, which has to do with gambling. That's what that name came from. And it's 32 years old or 31 years old this year, and it's going to be a record store day record. So people can order it in their local record stores if they want. It's being released on vinyl.
Are you bringing your Isaac Slade and the Downtown Record Store into the collaboration? And
Oh, I hope so.
yeah.
We're gonna play over at Easy Street in Seattle. And yeah, so releasing this record is going to be fun. This is, from when we first met. And so we'll be playing songs from that.
And
And
when does
then
that release?
it's record store day is, oh boy, it's April something.
Okay, it's
It's
after
April.
your concert at VCA,
Yes.
right? Yeah. Okay.
Yes. And then the Furball is May 17th at the O Space. And our theme this year is Las Vegas. So.
Oh, okay.
We
Sounds
always
like
get
fun.
people dress up. It's so fun. And we raise money for for VIP. That's super critical for us. About 40% of our budget comes from that event. And then we'll do some touring in June. So
Great.
pretty exciting.
And if anyone wants to see your beautiful art, it's on your website. It is on your website, isn't it? Don't you have
There's
examples?
work on my website. Yeah. And then I think I
ElaineSummers.com.
yes. And then I'll be, I think, participating in a show at the VCA in the Koch Gallery in June, around the garden tour. They're hoping to do
Great.
a garden theme there, so we'll have some pieces in that show.
Great. Well, thank you so much for your time. Now I can tell why you were worth waiting for, because I know you have an incredibly busy life. Even in a calm rural setting, you manage to stay full. But I can't wait to see these projects unfold, starting with the concert and going out from there. So thank you and say hi to Pete, and I hope you both stay really healthy.
Thank you, Sally. It was a pleasure.
Thanks so much for listening. I look forward to being back soon and bringing you another conversation with an island creative who can show you how it's possible to embrace your muse and live your richest and most creative life. Till then, thanks for joining us, and thanks to Voice of Vashon 101.9 FM for hosting this show. I'm your host, Sally Fox, and I look forward to being with you soon.